This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What is up, Peter? I bet US.com, your number one spot for all things involving your Tampa Bay Buccaneers news analysis, takes hot and otherwise, and plenty more about the defending Super Bowl champions.
We can hear you.
You can hear me now.
We can hear you. Yeah.
Very, very strange. Oh, you know why? It's because I hit mute. I hit unmute before the open started, or before the open ended, and couldn't hear me to start.
Figures.
But it doesn't matter. You don't want to hear about me. You want to hear from Ren Dax, my co-host. Hello, Ren. Happy Wednesday to you. Happy hump day.
Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Hello. Hello, everyone. Excited to get into this Philadelphia Eagles matchup with another local expert. Carney and his Rolodex comes through, unlike the Rays pitching staff.
Hey. We're not going there. We're certainly not going there, at least not on this show. But yes, this week, on Wednesday, we always go across the field to take a look at the Bucs' next opponent, and it is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I had to bring on my godson, my good friend, Josh Tolentino from the Philadelphia Inquirer. It's good to see you, my brother. I mean, it has been a long, long time.
Carney, Ren, appreciate the opportunity to join you guys. And we could talk... Surely, Ren, we could talk some Rays, man. I mean, I watched that whole series, Game 3, and if you want to go there, Carney, we could definitely talk some Rays.
We do not have the time. I would love to make this be an hour broadcast, and we just, you know, kind of banter back and forth about baseball and football and all that stuff. But, yeah, you get Carney on the Rays, and he'll take a breath about the 15-minute mark.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. We will start our conversation about the Bucs and the Eagles here in just a moment. But first, we want to tell you that the PewterCast is sponsored in part by Manscaped. Manscaped, of course, the number one product for male grooming. I have told the story many, many times overall. My time in the Navy, I had a guy that I used to work with that thought that using the razor on his face, the same razor on his face, was right to use down below. That is certainly not the case. That's nasty and disgusting. So use Manscaped instead, the brand new lawnmower version 4.0 with the ceramic blade, longer battery life, wireless charging, and the like, plus part of the Manscaped performance package version 4.0, where you can check out the lawnmower, the Weed Whacker version 4.0. You get the crop duster, ball deodorant, the crop toner as well, and plenty more, including a pair of those Manscaped boxer briefs, which are really sweet. And you get it at a discount thanks to the PewterCast. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code FANSIDED20, and get 20% off of your order and free shipping. Again, that's manscaped.com, promo code FANSIDED20. Get 20% off your order and free shipping from Manscaped and the PewterCast. So, Josh Tolentino, Philadelphia Inquirer's Eagles reporter and overall football insider, doing a lot of stuff video-wise with Philly.com here this year. I've known Josh a long, long time, almost longer than he cares to admit. But Josh, for our listeners and for our viewers here on YouTube, we always start our first time guests with, you are the Eagles reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, but you weren't always in Philadelphia. So tell us, how did you get to where you are now?
We could throw it back to Tampa, but let's throw it back a little bit before that. I have some newspaper experience before my time in Tampa. I was in the Kansas City Star, spent some time at the Chicago Sun-Times, and then I worked at another local paper around the Chicago area. That's my home over there, Ren, in Kearney, is the Chicago area. And I started working for The Athletic. I was with The Athletic for 3 years, and it was crazy. I moved around each year for them, basically, and I started up in Green Bay covering the Packers, and then probably my most memorable times was spending about a year and a half in St. Pete and covering the Rays. And what year was that, Carney? 2019?
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, 2019 season. They played Houston in the ALDS. They lost the first two games. And, we went back to St. Pete thinking we were not getting on a plane back to Houston. And, the Rays rally at the Trop, games 3 and 4. I think Snell had the game 4 save, and then we ended up talking about Rays, and then
it's quite all right.
And then they go back to Houston, and I think we've all been following the team since. But the following season during the pandemic had moved to Miami, and here we are another year later up in Philadelphia. So quite the journey, Carney, and I appreciate the opportunity to recap it, but. I think we were talking offline. If I had to pick a most memorable time or beat or city, I think it would for sure have been Tampa and just being in St. Pete.
Well, yeah, because the Trop's such a great place to work and watch a game. We're just going to blow right by that. Okay, let's get into this game. We have a limited amount of time today. For Bucks fans that are watching, listening, can you sort of recap the expectations of the team coming in and how they've been met so far? And, is the team on track? Are they a little bit of disappointment? Like, where's the fan base on them, and how did the season start?
Yeah, they're about on track, Ren, Carney. I think the biggest thing that really you have to remind fans up here is that they have a first-year head coach in Nick Sirianni, and not just that, but the coaching staff is extremely, extremely young. I mean, you want to look at Bruce Arians coaching staff, and it just the comparison in regards to the contrast between the two, it's crazy, or really in ages and experience. And I think that starts there. Then you look at the personnel. I don't really think this is a talented roster when you think about NFL rosters, and obviously 53 man rosters when they're put together right before cut day. Typically, each NFL team has about 50 players where it's like, these guys are surefire guys, and there's back end guys where it's like, okay, maybe this guy isn't an NFL player. He's really waiting for, he hasn't done anything to prove that or seize the opportunity. Well, around cut day, the Eagles had about maybe 40 NFL players, and then 10 plus guys. This is really not a talented roster right now, but they do have pieces. And one of them obviously starts with the quarterback, and that's Jalen Hurts, who is really – he's a second-year quarterback, but he's almost like a rookie. He's basically – it's his first time really starting after, they got rid of Carson Wentz over the offseason. And he's been really up and down. It's not just that. The defense has been up and down. They've lost some key pieces. Brandon Graham, one of their team captains, and definitely one of their better – defensive players, is out for the year with a torn Achilles. So, I predicted them to have about six, seven wins. They're kind of on pace for that. They've got about two here heading in this week six matchup against the Bucks. And I think it all starts with Jalen Hurts, though. That conversation of is he the guy? Because I do think that the Eagles are they have a lot of firepower in regards to the draft picks next year. Right now they're projected to have 3 top 10 picks, so if they need to shift directions, they certainly will this offseason.
Okay, I want you to talk about how they got 3 top 10 picks. I had no idea that happened. And after you do that, sort of go into the, we'll start on the offensive side of the ball, go into like who the playmakers are, or who the playmakers you thought they were, or the fans thought they were going to be. How's the offense looking as a whole? I think the offensive line, like the whole, I think the entire offensive line is on the injury report this week. Sort of kind of calculate how the offense have done this year. But please start with how in the hell are the Eagles on track to get three top 10 picks?
All right, well, if you go on Tankathon, Ren, and then you check out, you know, what if the season ended today? So that's what I meant when they're projecting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, three top three picks. So, you know, not sure if it stays this way. But right now, their own pick would be, I think, number 10 or number 9 with their 2-3 record. And then they possess the Colts pick from the Carson Wentz trade.
Okay.
And then on top of that, they possess the Dolphins pick from trading down in the draft to you know, allow the Dolphins to draft Jalen Waddle. And then, you know, they obviously still got their guy in Devontae Smith trading back to into the 10 spot. So they have the Colts pick, they have the Dolphins pick, and then they have their own pick. And right now, all three of them are in the top 10. So, again, if Jalen Hurts, if he, you know, craps the bed, or if, you know, owner Jeff Lurie or general manager Howie Roseman do not like what they see, they can definitely shift directions at that position. They're well equipped to this offseason. But so far, I think Jalen Hurts is about kind of what we expected here through the first five games. And you asked about the offensive line, man. We were talking about injuries earlier. It'd be remiss to not even, it'd be a mistake not to mention the offensive line. They are getting, last week they did get one of their tackles back in Jordan Mailata, a guy who signed a big extension at the beginning of the year. And who's the biggest player on the Bucs? Vita Vea, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. He's the Vita Vea on the Bucs, on the Eagles. He's the largest guy in the locker room. He's 6'8", about 370 pounds. And really, but one of the biggest personalities too, one of the best personalities on the team. And 3 years ago he picked up the football for the first time. His story is really amazing. He used to be a rugby player down in Australia, but anyways, back to the offensive line. He is back. Center Jason Kelce is the only offensive lineman who's really been healthy the entire year. And then, you know, obviously he's in the center. You look to his left, you look to his right, everyone is gone. Brandon Brooks is on the IR, right tackle. Lane Johnson, one of the best right tackles in the NFL, the highest paid right tackle in the NFL, is basically on pace to miss his third consecutive game. He's dealing with a personal matter right now. And right now the team, again, they're keeping it at that. It's a personal matter. And it does sound pretty serious in talking to other offensive linemen, talking to Jalen Hurts. You know, they always reference that they're praying for him, that they're thinking of him. But the team is keeping it at that in regards to saying the diagnosis of his progression and coming back. And it doesn't seem like he's going to be coming back anytime soon. Surely a big loss. So, and then Jordan Mailata was their left tackle, the guy I just mentioned. But with Lane Johnson out, they're moving him to right tackle, and they've got a backup in Andre Dillard, who was actually a first-round pick a couple years ago.
Yeah,
but has been pretty much of a bust since then. He's certainly getting an opportunity right now at that left spot. So, but the offensive line is definitely down and bruised. And if the Bucs front seven, which, I know they have their issues in the passing game, but I expect this to be Nick Sirianni, he does not like to run the ball. And I don't think he will be with this offensive line anytime soon. So.
Yeah, take the over on Jalen Hurts, how many times he throws. I think it's at 39 or 32.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He's going to pound the over, exactly.
I think it'll be near 50 times. Sanders, the running back, Miles Sanders, has been a frustrated guy these past few games.
Yeah, I was going to ask about, what they were doing with the right tackle position, but if they are moving Jordan Mailata from the left side to the right side and putting Andre Dillard in that spot, I'm really not surprised about that. I do want to ask you about Landon Dickerson on that front on the offensive line, though. Second round pick here this year. How has he looked? And how important is having someone like Jason Kelce next to him helped him in trying to get his development going as quickly as possible.
Certainly. Obviously, Landon Dickerson, he got some work too with Lane Johnson before he left the team a few weeks ago. So really just being, and at first he was at right guard, so he was in between Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce. He's since shifted to left guard, which is good, and it talks about his ability to swing to either side. But in all honesty, Carney, if you're talking about Landon Dickerson's play, it hasn't been good. He's definitely shown some rookie moments. It seems like he's gotten beat more times than he's offered pass protection specifically, and Jalen Hurts has definitely had a quick pocket over the past couple weeks, has definitely needed to use his legs to keep plays alive. But again, second round pick, he came off a season-ending knee injury last year. He never really got an offseason to fully prepare with this unit. But you talk about Jason Kelce, you talk about Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, you know, the guy he's actually replacing right now. Those are three solid veterans to learn behind. And they're one of their offensive line coach, Jeff Stoutland. I know we were dissing the experience and the ages of the Eagles coaching staff at the beginning of the show, but he's actually one of the most veteran coaches on the staff, and he for sure has played a big role in every guy's development. So, you know, Landon Dickerson, again, a guy who can swing the left to right, you know, we might see that even on Thursday here in Philly. So, good guy to point out, but again, definitely going through his early rookie struggles.
We talked about, and I think we're all going to be right on this, that Hurts is going to throw the ball for, you know, a half a century. He's going to throw 50 times. Who's he throwing it to? Like, who's the guy that he's locked in with? Like, who are the weapons on the outside that Philly's going to have to look to in this game?
Yeah, and as you look to the enemy side, you look at Tampa Bay and, you know, Gronk's uncertainty if he's going to play. Well, the Eagles are going to be without, it looks like, one of their best playmakers in tight end Dallas Goedert, and they really haven't been able to utilize him in this new offense with Nick Sirianni this year, but prior to Sirianni's arrival, Dallas Goedert for sure looked like one of the best tight ends in the NFL, and you know, they still have Zach Ertz, and I think his veteran leadership is definitely appreciated, but the production just has not been there from a tight end perspective in Nick Sirianni's offense. But you look at I really want to hone in on three wide receivers here: Devontae Smith, their first round pick,
right?
Quez Watkins, who was a late rounder from a couple of years ago, but he's one of the fastest guys on the team, and Jalen Reagor, a first round pick last year, who was taken right before Justin Jefferson, and Eagles fans love to point that out on Twitter. And Jalen Reagor has definitely been a disappointment. There's no hiding it. I mean, especially if you look in comparison to the guy who was drafted right after him, in Jefferson. But the Eagles still have hope that he'll turn it around here, and he really hasn't had those string of games where he has. There's really nothing pointing that Tampa Bay might be the game. You know, I do know, obviously, that the Bucs' passing defense is what it is, and that there's an opportunity to possibly keep up. Mm-hmm. But again, those three guys, if you were to pair them with a trio of receivers in the league, definitely, they don't have the experience, but they do have the skill-wise. I mean, they're definitely the three fastest players on the team. But how does that translate into play calling? It really hasn't that much. Nick Sirianni, he really struggles to find a sweet spot in the offense yet with Jalen Hurts and with these weapons. But if you had to pick one guy who, you know, might be the leading receiver, I think I got to go with Devontae Smith. He's been their leading receiver the past couple weeks. And there hasn't been much chemistry on offense, and I think we'll see a lot of that. On Thursday, the Eagles' offense is based on a lot of intermediate throwing, a lot of screen passes, a lot of checkdowns. That's not going to get you that far in this league. And Jalen Hurts, it's either he's really hesitant to throw the deep ball, or Nick Sirianni just isn't dialing up those deep shots. But what he is doing is throwing a lot of screens and such, slant routes to Devontae Smith, and he's his go-to guy in that offense.
I'm curious about this because I just looked up the schedule. Philly is 0-2 so far this year at the link. Why do you think that is?
You know, they've had some tough opponents for sure. They had the 49ers here. Obviously, they got the Bucs coming to town. And not just that, they create this home field advantage. And you know, the one biggest thing that I've noticed about Nick Sirianni is that the Fridays, or really, I guess, today, before the game, the days before the last practices before the game, he likes to fold them. at Lincoln Financial Field. You know, not many NFL teams do that.
Yeah.
You know, they stick to their practice facility because most practice facilities obviously are really nice in today's NFL. But Nick Sirianni, all home games, he's gone to the Link. He's like, you know, this gives us a home field advantage to practice here just the day or two before. It hasn't worked out, you know, in his favor, and he's still searching for that first home win. And you're talking about a coach who's really trying to adopt this city. I mean, he's done so many things to try to win them over. He wore an Allen Iverson shirt to their first game. He referenced Kobe and AI a lot.
I'm glad he wore it to the game and not to practice, because we talk about practice.
Hey, his selection of shirts in practice. I mean, he wears all these T-shirts featuring all these different Philly players, you know, former and current. And another thing is that he tried the Philly special. You know, obviously the play that took down the Patriots in the Super Bowl a few years ago. He tried that the very first game on a fourth and goal. It did not work. It was an absolute failure, and that kind of turned around that entire game against the Niners. So this guy is really trying to win Philly over, but so far, again, they have not won, as you pointed out, at home.
Well, let's switch to the defense, as you know, we're pushing up on when you got to go time. If Philly had to hang their hat on something, what do they do well on that side of the ball?
Oh, man, I think we got to look at they really haven't generated a lot of pressure, Ren, but they are coming off a game in which they did hit Sam Darnold 8 times. I think the Tampa Bay's offensive line, and I wrote this in today's paper, I think they present a much steeper challenge compared to Carolina. I thought Carolina was off to a pretty fluke start. And, you know, Tampa Bay is going to take over that division in no time. I don't think Sam Darnold is a good quarterback. But getting back to your original question, you know, they haven't generated a lot of pressure. And Jonathan Gannon, their defensive coordinator, he really hasn't dialed much pressure packages. I think they're one of the least blitzing teams in the NFL.
Oh,
he
no.
likes rushing a lot with just the front, with just the 3-4 guys, whatever he has up there. And depending on that, you can't do that with Tom Brady. You can't do that with this offensive line. So we'll see if he switches it up. But, you know, he's really dependent on the leadership down there with Fletcher Cox, who I think is having a disappointing year. I mean, he didn't have really register much stats until this past game against the Panthers. But one guy I think Bucs fans should pay attention to is 97, Javon Hargrave. He is the best interior defensive lineman in the NFL right now. Leads all interior defensive linemen in sacks, quarterback pressures, quarterback hits. And definitely 97 is someone to circle because he is playing out of his mind right now. He's definitely one of the best players on that defense. And you talk about the secondary. I think they're going to be overmatched by Tampa Bay's firepower at the skill position. The secondary, they are coming off a game in which they picked off Sam Darnold 3 times, but I think that was more of a product of the pressure developed up front by the defensive line.
Before you go, Carney, I just want to apologize, Josh, that you're going to get a few tweets about Vita Vea being the best interior defensive lineman from Bucs fans when they hear this, but because that's the way we are.
That's surely fine, but
No, I'm very interested. I'm going to go look this guy up. I had no idea. I heard of him, but I had no idea. But, yeah,
they signed him last offseason, had a pretty disappointing year during the COVID season, but he's turned it up. And he's even told us the past 3 weeks, I feel like I'm playing the best football of my career, and he just seemingly continues to pad the stats, again, leading all interior NFL defensive linemen in sacks and hits and hurries on quarterbacks. So we'll see if he'll be able to get a hand on Tom Brady, but one of the few bright spots for sure on a defense that prior to last week they had allowed 83 points in 2 weeks, Ren. So last week was a big step in the right direction for this group, but a big challenge against Tom Brady and this offensive line.
Yeah, I want to get into one more thing before we start to wrap this up. We joked before the start of this show about linebacker play in Philadelphia.
Notice how I didn't talk about them, Carney. Yes. You're talking about the defensive line.
I know. And really, I think that's going to be big, especially with the Bucs tight ends, with Brate and with O.J. Howard. Don't think Gronk is going to play this week again, obviously. But you know, it's, I think that they've got their hands full as well with O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate and the like.
Yeah, oh, certainly. And you look at their linebacker play. I mean, we can concentrate on two guys, Eric Wilson and Alex Singleton. They log the most snaps on defense from that specific position. And you know, it's a rotating position. They definitely have a lot of guys behind them, and Jannard Avery, you know, one of the few, T.J. Edwards. But those two specific guys, Eric Wilson and Alex Singletary, if I'm Tom Brady, I'm throwing the ball all day down the middle, you know, on routes where you see a linebacker in coverage. And, you know, they do run a lot of zone. Last week was the first time I probably saw them run a lot of man in regards to defense. They allowed Darius Slay to shadow D.J. Moore up there in Carolina, and it worked for them. You know, I'm not sure if they want to run man against the Bucs. I don't know what to run against the Bucs.
Yeah.
I'm going to expect to see a lot of Tampa 2, cover 2, but if those linebackers out there, Brady should definitely look their way, because they are not good in coverage. They've showed that on, you know, a byproduct of 5 games this season. And we're talking about quarterbacks who are not Tom Brady, who have been able to pick them apart. So you talk about the offensive weapons, Carney, and you mentioned two of them, man. We didn't even talk about Mike Evans and Godwin, and you know, throw Scotty Miller there. He's going to burn the entire secondary. I think
Tony Brown.
Eagles defense. They surely have their hands full preparing for the Bucs and Tom Brady.
I think the best way to defend the Bucs right now is put like 14 defensive backs on the field and just make them run the ball.
You know, Ren, the Eagles do, and I can't believe it took us to the end of the show to talk about this. They lead the league in penalties, and it's been absolutely And I know the Bucs are actually up there too. I think they're number 3 or number 4.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In the league, just because, you know, it's been a daily ritual now to check the league leaders in penalties, because it's been the Eagles the entire season. So you talk about throwing extra guys on the field. They've definitely done that multiple times on defense this year. So. If there's an over-under of like 0.5 on how many times that's flagged on the Eagles' defense, take the over.
Wow. All right.
I'm good with that. Ren, do you have anything else before we wrap this up?
I was going to ask you the same thing. I do not.
Good.
Let's make sure Josh gets his phone call.
Well, then we will finish with our final question. Game hits triple zeros on Thursday night, and Philly is coming off the field victorious for the first time at home this year. How does it happen?
Carney, that ain't gonna happen. Let me say that first. So, you know, I don't want any angry Bucks fans coming at my face. It ain't gonna happen. The talent on each roster, I mean, it's just not comparable. I mean, I'd be very shocked if that happened. I think I picked the Bucks 33-21. But if it happens, Tampa's offensive line, they all get hurt. They all lay down. They allow Philadelphia's defensive line, Javon Hargrave, to get all over Tom Brady. But in reality, you know, you think about the offense finally clicking in week 6 of this season, because, again, they showed some spurts, a series or two, where they've shown capabilities of, okay, why don't you continue to run this type of offense? But we're 6 weeks into a first-year coach, a first-year play caller. He's also the offensive play caller. And the offense still has no identity. They freaking love bubble screens. It doesn't matter the situation. It could be 1st and 10. It could be 3rd and 18. They are going to throw a bubble screen to Jalen Reagor or Devontae Smith. Carney, I'm going to be texting you throughout the game, and I'm going to be like, you see this bubble screen? That's what we talked about on your show, man. So, if they were to win, which, again, they will not. I think it is all based on the success of the offense and keeping tabs with Tom Brady, and, you know, basically making it a shootout is kind of what I'm pointing at.
He's my godson for a reason. You can follow Josh on social media at JCT Sports. Check out his stuff at philly.com, the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's one of my favorite people on this planet. So, Josh, it is great to see you again. We cannot wait 2 years to do this again, though.
Hey, Carney, appreciate the opportunity. Ryan, thank you. Take those overs on the Eagles' penalties and Jalen Hurts throwing the ball.
Yeah, I'm with you. Thanks, man. Thanks for carving out some time with us. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care, boys.
Thanks, brother. That is Josh Tolentino of the Philadelphia Inquirer. Just what a good dude. like I said, I've known Josh a long time from his time in The Athletic. Of course, we worked together covering the Tampa Bay Rays for about a year and a half. So before he went down to Miami to switch back to the NFL. So
yeah, another big pull.
It's what
another,
I do.
Another great guest by Carney.
It's what I do. I can book guests. What I can't do, seemingly, is bet.
No, you cannot. I mean, you can. You're just terrible at it.
Terrible at it. I went 1-2 again this week. I did get the right call in the London game, taking Atlanta. But I lost on the under for Tennessee and Jacksonville, and thanks to the Ravens going down 22-3 early to Indianapolis before coming back and winning by 6 in overtime when I had them -7. Yeah, 1-2. Whereas Ren undefeated again this week. Another big 0 in the L column. So obviously you need to follow Ren's pick.
6-0. I went 6-0 on BetUS.
6-0 on BetUS.com, the sponsor of the PeterCast for 27 years. BetUS.com has been paying off winners like Ren every single week. And of course, with the NFL and college football seasons going on right now, you can get lines from them. The NHL season is officially underway after the Lightning put up a stinker last night against Pittsburgh. But they've got NHL lines, and the NBA will start later this month. You can get the NBA games there on BetUS.com. Of course, UFC matches, PGA rounds, and Ren's favorite, the ponies.
Ponies.
Well, are all available at BetUS.com. And if you sign up for BetUS through the PeterCast, you get yourself a nice big fat signing bonus as well. You go to BetUS.com. If you're watching us on YouTube, check out the promo code below my face. It is PeterC, that's PeterCast, but drop the AST, and instead of that, put 125 after it. Again, Pewter, the letter C, 125. You get a 125% signing bonus. So if you sign up, use the promo code, and you deposit $100, you get $125 in bonus money. So it's like having $225 to play with. And if you like cryptocurrency, if you're a Bitcoin freak, you can get a little more of your signing bonus. Use the promo code PeterC200, and you can get 200% in your sign-up bonus. So that's if you use cryptocurrency. If you're just using straight cash, homie, PeterC125 for BetUS.com. You bet, you win, you get paid with BetUS.com. You get paid like rent.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So other than the fact that his best time as a reporter was hanging out with me at Tropicana Field.
Not quite what I heard, but okay.
He said he enjoyed his time in St. Pete.
Yes, that little last part I didn't hear. I heard he enjoyed his time in St. Pete. I heard that.
He hung out with me a lot in St. Pete.
And that was so, the reason why. Yeah,
but yeah, but what was the most interesting thing that Josh said to you?
God, I think it was all interesting, you know, because like I didn't really know a lot about Philly. You know, of course, you know, Wentz is gone and Hurts is there, and I wasn't really following, so I didn't really know how well they're doing. Since they were playing the Panthers, they kind of peaked up on my radar this week. And it looked like the Panthers were going to win the game. And it's like, oh, geez, well, you know, maybe Sam Darnold is the answer. And then, you know, and three picks later and Eagles come back. But it I guess it's just because I've heard this three times now. Like the Patriots expert was like, yeah, there's no chance. You know, like this isn't going to happen. And then the Dolphins expert was like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. And now the Philly, you know, Josh comes on and goes, yeah, no, like, I don't know, malaria outbreak. Yeah. I don't know. Like, like, I don't know how the Eagles are going to win this game. So, and if they, I guess the biggest part would be their defensive scheme, if they only rush four, this is going to be a bloodbath. And, you know, it's... Unfortunately for the Eagles, they don't get that extra time to prepare to try to figure something out. It sounds like their offensive game plan is already what they're doing this year, is what every team tries to do against the Bucs, which is don't run the ball, throw short passes, get the ball out quick to your playmakers on the edges, and put the pressure on the corners to come up and make the tackle. Jordan Whitehead should have a big game. Devin White, the speed coming from the inside going to the outside, should have a big game as far as like number of tackles. But you know, I kid Josh about it earlier, and he doesn't really care because he's not an Eagles fan. But and then we talked a little bit about it, you know, in the segment with him, was the linebacker play, and that middle of the field's just going to be wide open. So. Yeah. It all, like, O.J. Howard could have a monster game. It all depends on if Brady wants to go to him and if they call plays for him. Because, you know, something that I think we should talk about soon is now that Gronk's gone, I think Antonio Brown's his favorite target. You know?
Yeah, I would.
Especially since teams are now, like, since the Patriots game, which has only been two games, but the Patriots and the Dolphins are like, Chris Godwin's not beating us. Like, he's not beating us. We're going to double him. Like, they're clouding him. They're bracketing him. They're not, you know, like, doing, you know, man doubling where they're all over him. But
yeah,
there Brady looks and goes, okay, well, I got Evans and Brown and O.J. Howard and Fournette out of the backfield. I don't have to throw to – there's two guys over at Godwin. Okay, so, like, I'm not going to look over there. They've done this the past two games. So if they're taking away Godwin – and the Bucs scheme Godwin on outs and digs, or even starting just, you know, put him out on the outside a lot, it's just going to be, you know, it's bombs away right down the middle for him, for Brady.
Yeah, the thing for me is that if it is going to be bombs away down the middle for Brady a lot of this game, but I'm curious to see, because Philly only rushes four, how much you know, getting the offensive line going forward. I think you could have Philly Lenny. I think that you could see Leonard Fournette, especially if you've got two guys on Godwin and he's running go routes. You know, now you've got that, the whole side of the field, that if Fournette gets outside of a tackle, you know, I certainly think that you could see some big gains. I don't think you're going to see a lot of rushing from the Bucs, but you get Fournette or Ronald Jones outside of a tackle, especially if you've got two guys on Godwin going down the field, you could have some big chunks of yardage coming off through the run game.
Yeah, I know. I was kidding with Josh about putting 14 DBs on the field.
No, it's about right, though.
But he took it as, like, you know, put extra men on the field. What I meant was, like, play, like, dime, you know, or whatever's bigger than dime. Play... not quarters. I don't know. Play, I don't know. Play 100 penny roll. You need 100 DBs out there, because, and make the Bucs run the ball. Like, just make them. Like, we're gonna put, you know, one defensive lineman down, and everyone else is standing up, and they're all under 250 pounds. Run the ball.
Run the ball.
You know, and that's sort of like the best way to, I think, to slow this Bucs offense down, where you force them for the smart play is to run the ball, and you'll get down the field and eventually score.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like it's like the reverse of the bend don't break defense for the running game. it's like you can run the ball on us, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll maybe stop you for 1 yard or 3 yards, but if you run it 10 times, like seven of those times it's going to be for five or more, but hopefully those three times come in a row we can get off the field. Because if you don't got the corners and they don't have the linebackers, you know, and a couple of people in chat are talking about, you know, Hargreaves, I should say, talking about he's a beast, and I believe him. They're saying Philly's defensive line is good, and I agree. You know, I think it's the strength of their defense, but if they're only sending four, not against our offensive line. Like, you're not, and then when one guy does squirt free, you got Brady, who is now averaging out like the best quarterback, you know, with pressure in his face already this year. So It's gonna be tough sledding for the Eagles, and you know, good, because you know, Eagles suck.
Let's face it. If there's anybody outside of the NFC South that you want to beat, it's the Eagles.
Yeah, or the Rams.
Yeah, well.
Or the Chiefs, because they won't shut their mouth.
Well, they beat the Chiefs, so
I know. Beat them again every time, and
if you've noticed, the Chiefs are in really bad shape this year.
Yeah,
they're 2-3, and they're going to Buffalo.
They're going to Washington. They just got pounded by Buffalo.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they got beat by Buffalo. They go to Washington. That's right.
Yeah,
to go to 2-3. They're in rough shape.
They are in rough shape.
So
good.
Want to give a couple of shout outs in the comments. I thought Richard's comment about Josh being 20 years old was pretty funny.
Yeah,
Josh ain't much older than 20. I'll tell you that much. That's why I call him my godson, because I am old enough to be his father. But shout out to Shooty. Shooty is in the comments here. So from Shooter in the Stash.
Shooter in
the
Stash, long time no see, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So shout out to Shooty and the crew there at Shooter in the Stash. We got to get, because it's a Thursday game, we're not going to have a Friday show. So I don't know if you're ready to do picks, but I think I've got a couple in mind to take a look at as well. So
I'm sorry. My mic, when Josh was on, it just like tremendous feedback. I have to unplug it and plug it back in, so I really don't know what's going on with that. Are we talking about what we're going to bet?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing? Okay. Yeah, we're kind of doing this on the fly because we didn't talk about it, and we were waiting for Josh because he was on a call, and I just happened to open, you know, BetUS to take a peek at it. So we're going to do our bets, and then we're going to get out of here, and I'm going to go to work, and Carney's going to go and back in the fetal position and suck his thumb because the Rays are out of the,
right.
the postseason.
Right.
So let me pull mine up. So what are you looking at? Let me get mine. Pull mine back up here.
Well, the first one that I'm looking at, it's kind of strange because you've got Cincinnati going to Detroit, and Detroit is no good. And Cincinnati is giving only 3.
Yeah.
I know it's on the road, and if this was a home game, that this would be a 9-point game and not a 3-point game, but I certainly think that the Bengals are much better than just a field goal better than Detroit on the road. So I'm going to take Cincinnati and give the 3 in that game.
Yeah. Like it a lot.
I'm going to try. I don't want to tease anything because that's like your thing.
Dude, it doesn't matter. You're here to win money. Like, we're trying to help people win money. It's not my thing. What, am I the only person who's allowed to tease a bet in the whole entire universe?
Yeah, well, it's your deal, yo. All right. If I was going to tease anything,
yeah,
I would do 2-team Thursday Monday. I would tease the Bucks down to pick 'em,
mm-hmm.
and then I would tease Buffalo to +1.
Right. So all Bucks have to do is beat Philly on Thursday night, which according to Josh would take an act of God for it not to happen.
Yeah.
And then Monday night, Buffalo's playing Tennessee, and you can tease at 7.
Yeah.
Yep. -6, you can get into +1. So again, all they have to do is win. And those are good. Hey, listen, guys, I know we talk about Bet Online. It's kind of sort of taken I don't want to say it's taken over, but we talk a lot about more betting than we ever have on this show. But I'm telling you guys, this week is the week to. There's lots of money to be had out here. Any of these combinations are going to come through. Carney talked about Buccaneers, you know, getting 7 against the Eagles. Pair them with 2, 3, 4 of these and change these by 7 points. Like, this is a week to make it. So you can make it so Tampa just has to beat Philly. Okay, no problem. You can take the Packers and switch them to actually getting 2 against Chicago Bears. So they can lose to the Bears, but they can only lose by 1 point. Okay? Kansas City, Washington, which we talk about Kansas City's, you know, not looking good. We know they got a lot of talent. You can tease it where they just have to beat the Washington football team. I mean, let's face it, like okay, $100, like, who you taking, Washington, straight up Washington or Kansas City? You're taking Kansas City. Are you going to win that bet? Yeah, you are. This last week was hard. This week is not hard. Another really good one, the Chargers versus Baltimore. The Chargers are given 3. You can tease that to...
Chargers are getting 3.
Getting 3. I'm sorry, they're getting 3. You can tease that to plus 10. That means, first off, I think the Chargers are going to win the game, and you're getting 10 points. So if they lose, but they lose by 6, you still win. They lose by 9, you still win. I mean, that's like, to me, that's, you know, that's free. You talked about the Cincinnati game, which is great. You can, you took it straight up, but you can tease the Bengals
to plus 4.
To plus 4 against Detroit. So you're taking Cincinnati, and you're getting a 4-point cushion. I mean, this is really the week to do it. I'd stay away from Vegas, Denver, as far as on the points. I ain't touching Seahawks, Steelers. I have no idea what that's going to do. And then, yeah, like you talked about the Buffalo, Tennessee. Buffalo beat the crap out of everybody since week one. I know they play a lot of crappy teams, but then they just played Kansas City in a big game, beat the crap out of them. Tennessee's been up and down. Like, they're, like, one half they're good, one half they're bad. And they've done that every single week. And you can't do that against Buffalo. Buffalo's defense is severely underrated. So is the Chargers, by the way. Two of the top best defenses in the league. And you get the Bills against the Tennessee and getting a point. Like, I mean, I'm going to come out, I'm going to look at the ones that I like the best. The two I like the best. Oh, I didn't even talk about the one. The second one I like the best. Cowboys against the Patriots. Cowboys are given 4.5. Tease it up where they get 2.5. I mean, that's what I'm taking. I'm taking the Bucks and the Cowboys. That's where I'm gonna lay. That's where I'm gonna put my big money on. Tease it. The Bucks win. Cowboys getting 2.5. That's where I'm gonna put my big bet. And then I'm gonna do a bunch of $50 bets. I might do like a 6-team teaser with a 7-point swing, just to see what the odds are. Cause if I put like 6 teams in there and put $50, like, I'm probably gonna win like 400. Even with the 7-point, even with the 7-point swing, so yeah, this is a nice week to sort of fatten that up. I mean, I'm gonna lose eventually, but right now I'm like 17-0 on BetUS.
Yeah, let's put it this way: Ren has gone from an initial $50 investment on BetUS.com, and what are you at now? You're over a grand.
I'm at $1,044.85.
How about that?
In 5 weeks. That's what happens when you don't lose. Never lost.
That's right. He is undefeated. Undefeated Dax is what we're
talking about. There we go. you are.
That's right. Undefeated Ren Dax here on BetUS.com. So
URD.
Yeah. URD.
Man, I don't like that one.
No.
Hey, did you hear? I'm not sure if you heard or not, but after the Dolphins game, when Peter Report went live with their post game show, they brought in J.C. Allen, who we had on the show, and he gave his game ball to Ross Cockrell, and I guess he thought, I don't know what he was thinking, but he goes, he shortened his name as a nickname, and he's like, yes, I'm giving the ball to Cock, and it's like,
oh, Lord.
Oh yeah, and then the whole podcast is pew, as far as seriousness. I mean, it was a lot of fun to listen to after that, but like everyone was giggling. He's just trying to get through his take about why he's giving the ball to Cock, and then he's like, it's just a nickname, and John Ledger's laughing. He's like, no, it is definitely not. Like, you can hear John's wife in the background just crying. Like, it was pretty funny. But
too funny.
Anyway,
all right. Last thing, predictions for Thursday night. What do you got?
Bucks 1,000,000. The Eagles -4. Okay, seriously, I think the Bucks score over 30, 40 maybe, but it's Thursday night, so I'm gonna go with 38.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going with 38. I'm picking a defensive touchdown. I'm going with 38 to 24 is what I'm going with. I still think the Eagles are going to, you know, the secondary's banged up, man. Everyone's completed passes on him. Jalen Hurts is still going to complete passes on him. The defense have not been able to go three and out, mostly because, you know, teams won't run the ball on him. And one more thing on BetUS, take the over on Hurts' passing attempts. Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know if is that prop available?
It is. I'm going to look it up right now while you give your prediction.
My prediction is that because it's Thursday night, the Bucks will get to 30, but it won't be much higher than that. I think I have 31-21 as my pick. So
we'll, okay, it's a little higher than I thought, than I reported. It's at 39.5. So 40, you know, that's a tough number, but I would still take it. But don't put a lot of money on it.
Yeah, it's total completions is 25.5.
Yeah, but total pass attempts is 39.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's a good line by them. That's kind of. I would still take, if you held a gun in my head, I would still take the over, but I don't think I'm going to, even though it is even money. No, I'm probably not going to take it. Nope. Yeah. I only take sure things. That's why they call me URD.
Yeah, URD.
What?
All right, let's get on out of here. You gotta go to work. I gotta go cry some more about the Tampa Bay Rays. So
yeah.
Here's the Red Addiction. Where can they find you, Ren?
Best place to find me is on Twitter at the PeterCast. We don't talk Buccaneers football, but if you think your take is too hot and don't want to put it out there in Twitter sphere, feel free to slide in my DMs and we'll talk Buccaneers football as well too. Ish, maybe,
perhaps.
If I'm not at work,
I'm at Steve Carney on Twitter and Instagram, cp9.com. We are starting our off-season analysis of the Tampa Bay Rays a hell of a lot earlier than we wanted to. And also, you can hit the subscribe button here on YouTube for the PeterCast, and also subscribe on the podcast wherever you happen to be listening, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. Leave us ratings and reviews in those places. Thank you to our sponsors, Manscaped and BetUS.com. Thank you to the Fansided Network for hosting us. And we will talk to you tomorrow night after Bucks and Eagles. We will get your reaction to the game. And until then, Ren, go buck yourself.